I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And happy International Podcast Day. Yes, today as I record this is a Sunday. It also happens to be International Podcast Day. And this, of course, is a podcast. So we're celebrating in style. Well, maybe not style. My hair is, as it typically is, a little wonky. But anyway, as much style as I can muster. What can I say? I also have, over here off camera, my hat. So I'll put that on. Does that help? My beard's all scraggly. Does it help at all? Well, maybe not. But hey, happy International Podcast Day, all you denizens of the podcastery. Yes. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters, which, of course, is a good thing to be on International Podcast Day, as a broadcaster on the internet, which is pretty much what a podcast is. So there you go. Anyway, we have a show for you. Yes. And for those of you that are wondering, do you indeed have anything to talk about? I actually do. You know, I try. Anyway, but we have some information that I trust you will find fascinating, interesting, possibly even helpful, maybe. If you are a user of a wireless mic, now this mic that I'm wearing right here, I don't want to stir it up too much because it'll go make noises. But this is not a wireless mic. It has a wire. So it's not wireless. But if you use a wireless mic, you need to be aware that things, they are a-changing. And it's not just the leaves for fall. No, things are changing because the spectrums of the airwaves that you broadcast your wireless micery in is changing as well. What? Anyway, wireless micery? What is that? Anyway, see, various frequencies are going to be overwritten by other things other than wireless mics. So if you have a wireless mic in the various ranges that are going to be used for something else, you will be in trouble if you keep trying to use them. So this is an article that I have here on the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. And in that blog, the aforementioned, now officially aforementioned, drbill.tv, last week I said aforementioned, and I hadn't mentioned it yet. So now I can truly say it. Anyway, there is an article provided by Samson. Samson is a manufacturer of wireless microphone systems. They are also the manufacturer of the mic that I use with my laptop occasionally, a little small wireless, well, not wireless, it is wired, but it is a USB mic, and I like it a lot. I really do. It's a very nice microphone. So, Samson makes good stuff. So, I'm on their email list. And I'm minding my own business. I read my email, and there is this article, a link to it. How the FCC relocation of UHF frequencies may affect your wireless mics. And they list out the frequencies that will be affected and what the new frequencies are. And they talk about that. And then they have a link, which I also have at the end of the article that I posted on the blog, that is a link that will tell you essentially what to do if your wireless system is in that 600 megahertz range. Okay? And what you can do about it. And I have a picture at the top of the article of a Shure wireless microphone system, and the article is by Samson. Sorry about that, guys. But, you know, it was a picture of a wireless mic system, and I have a Shure wireless mic system. I don't have a Samson wireless mic system, so I felt like it was only fair. There you go. Next item. Next item is that Roku is debuting some budget reduced price 4K streamers. This falls into our category of cord cutters. For all you cord cutters out there that are looking for an inexpensive Roku device for streaming video, these are in the $40 range. And it's pretty good. And basically it supports the slower 802.11bgn Wi-Fi. So, you know, if you've got older Wi-Fi, this is good for that. It does not support HDR video and Dolby Atmos surround sound. Doesn't support that. These are kind of stripped down, okay? But if you're just looking for 4K video, these are good to look into. So, you may not care about the Dolby, you may not care about the HDR, but the Roku Streaming Stick and Streaming Stick Plus are worth upgrading to because they are inexpensive for what they do. Okay? So check into those. Whoa! Fred, very good. Fred played the Geek Software of the Week drum roll because we have for you this week a Geek Software of the Week that I'm very enthusiastic about. As you can tell, I'm excited about this Geek Software of the Week because it is one that I use all the time. Now, without getting into a lot of detail here, and of course, you know, as I say that I'm going to get into a lot of detail and get into the weeds. It's just what I do. I say I won't do it and then I do it. I don't know why. Why do I do that? Anyway, let's get into the weeds. The reason I use this all the time is because I help programmer. Actually, I say help. I actually am the only one that programs. I say help because it is part of Help's ministry. So I want to get that right. But I'm the one doing it myself. But I program the SpeakFaith.tv Roku channel, speaking of Roku. And in doing so, I have to get the videos from the various ministries that I show on the SpeakFaith.tv Roku channel. Now, most of them are like on YouTube or Vimeo, or a few are even on Facebook. They're all over the place. People are just broadcasting all over the place these days. So this Geek Software of the Week is something that I use literally, I kid you not, nearly every day. And it's just that good. It's called AYC, the Advanced YouTube Client. Okay? Now, what this allows you to do, it brings up a what looks like, for all intents and purposes, a command prompt box. It's not, but it looks like it because it has no GUI, okay? But it brings up a box. You paste the YouTube address of the video into the box. It then brings up another screen that looks like a command prompt, simple menu screen, and it allows you to choose, do you want it to be an MP4 or WebM, or what format do you want? I choose MP4, and then I choose 720p because 720p is a good resolution for SpeakFaith.tv and internet video. You know, you could go up to 1080 or whatever. It depends on the original video as to how much resolution it has. If you take it from a 720 to a 1080, you're going to lose some resolution anyway. So, but for me, 720 works great. So I choose that, and then it streams it down to a file that is local on your PC, and then I can take that file and upload it to the cloud and put it in my Amazon cloud account where I can then link to it through SpeakFaith.tv through the coding that I do for that channel. Okay, So basically, for the average Joe user, hi Joe user, for you, it may be a video you just want to keep, or maybe you want to use it, you know, in a presentation or show it to somebody else or whatever, offline. I don't know. You know, if it's on YouTube, you could just give them a YouTube link and they're good if you just want to do that. But if you have some other reason that you want to get the video like I do, then this software is awesome. It is free. It is open source. Excellent. High quality. Now, I will warn you that the software is on SourceForge, okay? And if you go to the page that I have linked, a couple of the comments on the page say, don't download this, it's got malware in it, blah-de-de-blah. Well, that may have been true when they posted it, but it's not true now. I know because I've downloaded the file, I've scanned it with antivirus, I've scanned it with Malwarebytes, I've scanned it with Super Anti-Spyware, I've checked it every way there is to check it, and there isn't anything bad in it, okay? Now, I'd encourage you to do all that, too, because you never know as they post new versions what's going to happen, but I can say that the one that I downloaded is clean, okay? And I use it, like I say, literally almost every day. So it is worth checking out. All right, next item, Facebook admits to a security breach. And, you know, Facebook doesn't always admit to such things. But Facebook waited until 6 p.m. on Friday to announce that an estimated 50 million users, did that wrong, you should use a little finger, million users were affected by a major security breach. The breach, which Facebook engineers discovered on 25 September, saw hackers exploit a vulnerability in Facebook's code that impacted View As, a feature that lets people see what their own profile looks like when somebody else looks at their profile. Basically, it gives the person that uses this exploit access tokens that they could then use to take over people's accounts. That's bad, in case you're wondering. Dude. So, Facebook, of course, is working on it, trying to fix the problem. But be aware that you could have your Facebook profile hijacked, and people may start seeing weird posts from you that aren't really you. You know what I'm saying? 50 million people affected. Dude, I think I'll drink a little tea. Ah, yes. I went to Outback for lunch, and their tea is excellent, particularly if you use stevia with it. I'm looking for my bottle of stevia. I love stevia tea. It's awesome. Anyway, I think I've told you that before. That's not news to you. Oh, well. Next item is a video that I have on the blog, the old drbill.tv blog, that shows you a person invented a Rubik's Cube that solves itself. How cool is that? It kind of goes flop, 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 and turns itself until it gets itself fixed. So no matter how you randomize it, it will go back to that state of being correct. It's cool. And it's basically the only way I could solve a Rubik's Cube is let it solve itself. But it's fun to watch. Check it out. It is fun to watch. Next item, my old buddy, I need to give him a nickname on the show. We'll call him Bob. That's not his real name. But we'll call him Bob because Microsoft once had a Microsoft Bob, which was odd. Why did they do that? But anyway, this buddy of mine that I used to work with when I worked at High Point Regional Hospital, close buddy of mine, very odd character, likes Microsoft, don't know why. That's why I'll call him Bob on the show. Now he's going to write me and say, Bob? Anyway, it's all right. You do that, Bob. Anyway, Bob told me he's also very down on Google, okay? And you've heard me mention it before. I always say that guy that I work with at High Point Regional. I don't work at High Point Regional anymore, so I can't say that. But I can say that we'll call him Bob. That'll just make it easier for me to deal with. So anyway, Bob sends me an email after talking to me and gloating over the fact that Google is evil. Now, here's the thing about Google. All right. I have a Google account. I use Google. I use Chrome. I use the Google browser. I'm pretty much well deep into the Googleverse. Okay. But I have no illusions about Google. They're out to take all of my data. I know that. It's just that I'm a boring individual and it doesn't matter that much to me. Anyway, you know, if I had deep, dark state secrets, that would be different, but I don't. I'm just a regular guy. Anyway, here's the thing about Google. Their motto used to be, don't be evil. Well, they dropped that motto. And as I say here in the article, they now reserve the right to be evil, apparently. So, this is one of their cases of being evil. Apparently, if you turn off tracking, if you tell Google, Google, I don't want you to track me, they go, okay, we're not tracking you. No, not us. But they really are still tracking you. Whoa. Hey, Google, I thought you were not supposed to be evil. Like I said, they reserve the right. But anyway, so people are writing softwares that allow you to cut off their tracking from the Apple Safari browser, the Mozilla Firefox browser. They have various different ones that are supported. And some of these products have offered tracking blocking for a long time, like Ghostery. Ghostery was Geek Software of the Week many years ago, okay? So that is a method. There's others. There's all kinds of software that it mentions here in the article. But I mentioned it because Bob wanted me to. And because he wanted to gloat. You know, he likes to gloat. Hey, look at what Google's doing. I told you they were evil. Yes, Bob, they're evil. I know. But anyway, Microsoft, however, is a lot more evil. Just saying. I use Microsoft, too. I use Windows. I have an Outlook account. I mean, come on. I'm an equal opportunity evil software user. Not that I'm evil, but the software is. Anyway, but I also use Linux, particularly the Linux server software, and many other open source things. So, Bob's happy that I mentioned it on the program. Now he's going to say, yeah, but you waited till the very last item of the program, so it would not be heard by as many people. Well, that wasn't my fault. That's just the order in which it was entered into the blog, which is the order in which I do it on the show. Anyway, enough said. So, happy International Podcast Day. Yesterday, I believe it was National Coffee Day. And I did have coffee on International Coffee Day. Or National Coffee Day, whichever one it is. I have coffee every day. So, it was easy, right? But I also like stevia tea. I really like that. You should try it. And I do recommend Now Foods Stevia Tea. Stevia. The tea you can get anywhere. It's just unsweet tea. But you put the stevia in it, and then it's good. Okay? But Now Foods makes a good one. There's some that have an aftertaste that I don't care much for, but Now Foods is good. And I have no connection to them. I don't get any kickbacks. Would that I did, but I don't. So there you go. Speaking of kickbacks, if you'd like to support our podcast, being International Podcast Day, I encourage you to become a patron at patreon.com, as it says there on the screen. patreon.com/Dr. Bill. And as I've said before, don't slash Dr. Bill. I need all my blood in me. You know what I'm saying? No slashing. But you can put the slash mark after the patreon.com and then put Dr. Bill and you're good. You can go to my site there on Patreon and pledge a buck or five or 10. I don't care. Whatever amount you'd like to support us with, weekly or monthly or whatever, they'll deduct it, you know, for you from your account and put it right into the Patreon pledge account for good old Dr. Bill. And that will help us continue the silliness, which we all know is why we're here, is to enjoy the silliness. So enjoy the rest of your day. And until next time, remember that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.